Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
It's a throne, and behind it is like the way the World Series trophy appears. And they're just reminding us, hey, Monday morning at 10 a.m., you could buy tickets to the NLDS.
Oh. Mets suck.
And I get it. Like, it's business, right? They got to put the tickets on sale at some point. But how about we wait? How about you don't send out any emails until they qualify for not even the Division Series, the Wild Card Series? And then you're like, hey, by the way, you know, if we win the wild card series, boom, there's a home game. Let's put the tickets on sale. I don't like this email. Pisses me off.
There's something I've never understood with teams, and the Mets are not alone in this. Whenever you get to the end and you haven't yet clinched and you rush these tickets out, and especially because it would be the division series as we now know, do you think you're not going to sell the games out if you waited till Monday morning when, like, they've clinched a playoff spot to do so? Like, why the need to rush this out?
Well,
now?
And also the tickets go on sale Monday morning. We're already going to know the answer, so just wait till Sunday
night. That's what I'm saying. Like, just put the big flyer out Monday morning, 2 hours after going on sale. I don't understand that.
I agree with you, and I also agree with what I said to myself, but on the air to open this segment, which is, Evan, don't be mad at this. Like, it doesn't really matter, but it just popped into my email, and I'm annoyed.
You know why it matters? There's an element of tone deafness. Steve Cohen yelled at the Mets, didn't yell at the Mets fans, but like, he begged the Mets fans, hey, show up, I did my part. The Mets fans did their part this year. They did. They're dying to buy playoff tickets. They want to go and buy playoff tickets. The Mets haven't done their part this year.
I got you.
So don't challenge the fans basically through an email to come by, be prepared to buy tickets. Do your job first.
Do your damn job, fellas. And the Mets' job is simple. Win their final four games. If they do that, they're in the wild card series. If they don't, then they're going to need a lot of help.
You know what? And now I'm starting also to root a little more for the Mets to make it if the Diamondbacks aren't. This Red team is so boring. Watch this. How many games in a row do I got to track the Cincinnati Reds where they're playing every game is 2-1, 1-0, 3-2? I've had enough.
I got to defend the Reds. Now, the Reds are a mediocre team, which is where the Mets pool is right now. They're competing with a bunch of mediocre bad teams that wouldn't be playoff teams under the old format. The Cincinnati Reds have a really good rotation, like legitimately, and they would be dangerous in a postseason series. But they don't score a lot of runs. They don't have a great bullpen, but they rotate like Hunter Green and Nick Lodolo and Andrew Abbott. Like, that's legit, man. That's a major league rotation. Yeah,
look, and that's fine, and maybe they stifle the Dodgers. But the problem is, when the Reds play this boring brand of baseball...
I don't think it's boring. It's low scoring.
Okay.
That's your opinion.
Many would find it boring, Evan. Many would find it boring. And they're not going to get buried at 1 o'clock because they're going to play the Dodgers in prime time next week.
Yeah. Well, worry about that for the Red fans and their prime time game. I'm worried about my team. Now, at the beginning of the season, everybody does this. Like, Sports Talk Radio, we all make predictions. I believe I said this to Sean the day we started. I said, it's very important that we see how we did. Otherwise, why are you making predictions?
Sheet of integrity.
I mean, you make predictions to fill airtime. No, you make predictions to put yourself out there. And then when it's all said and done, we see how we did.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go to our prediction desk. And by the way, the reason I picked today to do it is I think when the season is over on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the focus is so much on the playoffs or how the Mets didn't make the playoffs. And we have a pretty good idea of where we stand right now. So I kind of like to do it on the Thursday or the Friday before the season ends. So let's go to our prediction desk. I know we made a lot of them, Tommy. Where would you like to start?
Let's start with Marcus Stroman. If you remember, right before the season started, he met the media and said, I'm a starter. So we all predicted, you know, what would happen or what would end up with Marcus Stroman.
I remember that. This was all the way back in February 12th, after he met the media and said, I'm not going to start. We all made long-term predictions. How does Stroman's 2025 go?
I think that anybody who argues with anybody that baseball season's too long, their big argument or big point of evidence would be, remember that Marcus Stroman was a Yankee?
Well,
and we made these predictions when there was snow on the ground.
Yeah.
Yes. It was still winter. All right. Who are we going to hear from first?
All right. Let's hear from Tiki Barber first.
He will be a Yankee. And he will start probably not 30 games, but I can see him starting 18 to 20 games.
Okay. He was very wrong about that, by the way. Marcus Stroman this season ended up pitching for the New York Yankees. He made 9 starts, pitched to a 6.23 ERA. So halfway there, but not quite. All right, who's next?
All right, I'm next, Loogie. Marcus Stroman will throw 150 innings for the New York Yankees this season. Fried has injury concerns. Cole has injury concerns. Rodon. Brian Cashman's smart. Marcus Stroman never gets hurt. He has value for the Yankees.
Well, you were right about Cole getting hurt. That's how long ago it was. It was before Gerrit Cole even got hurt.
Stroman got hurt, too.
He did. He ended up only throwing 39 innings this year. So far, Tiki and Tommy way off. Who's next?
All right, Sean Marash is next.
I think we know, based on Brian Cashman's actions, Marcus Stroman has thrown his last pitch as a Yankee, and he will be traded.
I mean, he was actually the closest, because though he did make 9 starts into 39 innings, they ended up DFAing him.
And he made those starts after Gerrit Cole got hurt.
Yeah.
That became, let's be honest, he was the 6th guy they were looking at. If Cole was healthy, is he making the team out of camp?
Nah, you're right. All right, let's see what I said. I honestly don't remember. On opening day, maybe a day before opening day, maybe a few days before opening day where we can recheck this situation.
Yeah.
I believe he'll be on another team. And I'm being specific, he'll be a St. Louis Cardinal. Oh, this is when I was going through my Nolan Arenado will be a Yankee fan.
Yeah, you couldn't let go of that. Again, another signed baseball might have been too long a year.
Yeah, I don't know who won that. I think we all lost. I think Sean's probably the closest, only because they did end up getting rid of him. And what's really weird about Stroman, especially when you look at the Mets situation, no one signed him. The Yankees DFA'd him, you know, what was it, a month and a half ago, 2 months ago. No one actually ever picked him up. Crazy. So I think that's an L for everybody. What's next?
Okay, the next one is something that we have done all season long, if you're a listener to Evan and Tiki Daily, and that is predicting who will be the Yankee leadoff hitter.
Oh, yeah. So remember, this was February 14th, and I said, hey, Tiki, I got a baseball topic you may be intrigued by. He's like, are you serious? I said, I do. Who the hell is the Yankee leadoff hitter? And none of us had any idea. There was no obvious choice.
Valentine's Day we did this.
Yeah, Valentine's Day. It took 7 months for us to get the answer. So we all went around the room and predicted who would end up leading off the most times for the New York Yankees. Before we listen, I do want to give you the results. Trent Grisham won in a runaway. Trent Grisham started 85 games as the leadoff hitter. The next closest is halfway down. Paul Goldschmidt did it 40 times. Ben Rice, 21 times. Jason Dominguez, 7 times. Austin Wells, 2. Austin Slater, 2. And Cody Bellinger, 1.
Yeah. Does this sound like a team that's going for the number one seed in the American League?
What's the best?
Trent Grisham's led off the most. He's had a great year, but come on.
And Austin Wells, too. One of them was opening day.
That's right.
That's true. Let's hear what everyone had to say.
Okay, let's start with Evan first.
My answer is Jason Dominguez. Yeah, I think he did it 7 times. So I didn't get shut out, but I certainly didn't win. He ended up finishing 4th. He did it the 4th most times this year.
All right, let's go to Sean next.
I mean, I got to stick with my prediction. If I'm thinking I want to see him get the, I got to go Volpe. I think he does take a next step this year.
It got worse.
I mean, that is an all-time clip.
Wow. Not only did it not get better for Volpe, he let off a grand total of 0 times this season.
And I might have turned the hardest of him of anybody.
Yeah, that was rough.
Tiki Barber.
Jazz Chisholm.
Jazz Chisholm also did not do it one time. So both Sean and Tiki got shut out. Tommy Lugauer.
All right, I'm going to go outside the box here. I'm going to say Paul Goldschmidt.
I'll further this. I don't think he'll lead off one time this year.
Ooh. Okay.
I'll put that in there.
All right. Keep that in the clip. I should get extra points.
Keep that in the clip.
I did say keep that in the clip, didn't I? Man of my word. Yeah, he ended up doing it 40 times, which is the 2nd most times of anybody. So that's a clear victory for Tommy Lugauer. Congratulations.
Thank you. All right, we move on now to season-long predictions for the Mets. We'll start with the Mets first. Let's hear from Tiki Bar. Do you have the date on when we did this?
Yeah, this was the day before opening day.
Okay.
So we're right there on the precipice of the start of the baseball season.
I should preface by saying that Sean was using one of his off days. PTO.
I had no problem 10 months later. My wife had bad kidney stones. She was put on the ride to take her.
Oof. Okay. So we don't actually have a prediction from Sean, which is a bad job. We should have gotten one, but okay. We don't have him. So let's start out with Tiki Barber first.
86 and 76.
Playoffs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wild card.
Wild card.
Last wild card.
Last wild card. How does it end? Obviously, we don't get to the World Series.
Divisional round knockout.
All right. That was Tiki.
I mean, right now they're 81-77. They're obviously not going to win 86 games, but not that far off, especially if they get the third spot, which is what he predicted. He then has them winning a round. We'll see if that's the case. So not that far off by Tiki Barber.
All right. Let's go to Thomas Lugauer next. The Mets will win 100, and I'm going to go 20. 120.
Stop it, bro. Come on.
There'll be 5 forfeits.
Loogie.
Sweep the Subway Series, which will be the Yankees World Series this year because they're a little brother. And then they will finish my story, winning the World Series. This time, though, in the Bronx.
This is rough. That was maybe the roughest prediction clip we've ever put.
Clearly AI generated. That almost sounded more like negative Tommy, who's currently away with Bantiki in prison somewhere.
I mean, you just kept making it worse. Like, 120 is obviously bad. Finishing the story, bad. Calling the Yankees, like, let's throw in a little brother on them.
Won't lead us.
Yeah. Not good. All right. Who's next?
You're next.
I think they're going to win 89 games. I think they will be the third wild card. And I actually have them getting back to the same spot they were last year. I think they're going to lose in the league championship series to the Atlanta Braves.
Wow.
Leave that last part in, the Braves.
I will do the work in the break, but it dawned on me.
Yeah.
I made predictions to stay on the show.
Oh, did you?
We tested out a microphone camera that I was going to be used on opening day the next day when I got home from the procedure thing.
Oh, okay.
And I stepped in dog crap in the backyard.
I kind of remember that. Yeah.
All right, I'll look, but keep on going.
Oh, you let me know. All right, so I think based on that, I still have a chance to be right. Not the win total. Yeah. We're all wrong on the win total by a lot. I mean, 89 wins, 87 wins. It seems like the show outside of you, Tommy, was a little bit lower on the Mets coming into this season than the over-under, which was 91.5 or 90.5. But we both had them as the third wild card team, me and Tiki, so they still have a shot at that. All right, what's next?
All right, let's move on to Yankee season-long predictions for win totals, and we will be, I assume that we did this on the same day as the Mets. Let's start with me first. The Yankees will win 90 games.
90?
They will lose in the World Series.
Again. Yeah.
Nailed it.
Wow.
They are currently 90-68. So with 4 games to go, if they go 0-4, then boom, you're right. So we'll see. But now you're in the ballpark, to say the least.
All right, let's go to Tiki Barber next.
92-70.
92-70. American League pennant.
Yes.
Oh, look at this. You both have them winning the American League pennant.
Wow.
Tiki needs the Yankees to go 2-2 to nail his win total.
All right, Evan Roberts next.
I have the New York Yankees winning 93 games, so slightly above you. They will win the American League East, and I have them losing in the divisional series. They will lose that division series
to the
Jacob
Houston.
DeGrom and the Texas Rangers.
Texas. Ah!
I always have to. You went a bridge too far there, Evan.
I always have to spoil it. Why did I just say lose in the divisional series? Well, I got a chance at the win total because they're at 90-68. And by the way, I actually feel really good going into the final 4 games that they will get tripped up once because baseball's tough.
Sure.
And they're going to finish on the exact same win total I nailed. Oh. 93-69.
Well, it was certainly better than our leadoff hitter predictions.
Yes, that was way off. That's all very close. But you know what that shows you? It shows you that our expectations, and most people in the audience's expectations for the New York Yankees, were basically met. They have nailed our expectations. Low 90s. Right there to win the division. I have them losing in the DS. You guys had them losing in the World Series. And obviously we'll find out about that over the next, little bit of time. But we all kind of had them win-wise in that same zone.
You know what it tells you, too, with the mindset of, being positive or negative on a team? By the way, the Reds do lead the Pirates 1-0.
Yes.
Is that it's not about the win total. It's about how you get there, right? Because if we told everybody 93 wins, but they had beaten the Blue Jays 10 times this year, I think it's a little different scenario. I think what sours everybody is that the Yankees kept losing all of these games within the division and the division rivals. So they might get that end result, but that's where the negativity lies.
Yeah, the route you take. Anything else?
Yeah, we saved the best for last. Sean Morash.
Sean Morash was on earlier, had a family thing to take care of today. He said the Yankees will win 85 games and miss the playoffs.
Wow.
Oh, he did have my prediction. Okay.
Yeah, 85 and miss the playoffs?
I was down on him before the year.
Yeah, you were.
And I remember the next day when we did a 23-minute show, and I was at Yankee Stadium. I walked in that stadium, and I smelt the hot dogs, and I smelt the ice cream, and I think I flipped them to 100-win team.
Yeah, but you know what? I've said this before. People do that all the time. Like, Giant Camp. You go to Giant Camp, all of a sudden you go from thinking they're going to win 5 games to 11 games.
See the Giant Fan Fest thing
yeah.
we did.
The Giant Fan Fest we did 2 weeks ago.
I had them at 3-0. I thought they would really win 6 games this year.
It's easy to get like fooled once we're in it. All right, thank you very much. Just reminding you, we always pay off our predictions.
We have World Series predictions to round this out. Let's start with Sean Marash first.
In a season where we get 0 games of playoff baseball in this city, the Detroit Tigers get swept by the Los Angeles Dodgers in the World Series.
I mean, it's on the table still.
It's live.
Now, the Yankees are making the playoffs. You got that part wrong. I know you thought both teams would miss the postseason. So, Detroit, L.A. Next.
Loogie. The Mets, in the 2025 World Series, the Mets will face the Texas Rangers.
And who's winning the World Series?
I mean, the Mets
okay.
in four.
All right.
Actually, in three, Texas will forfeit.
All right. Who else?
All right, Evan, you're next.
I can see the Orioles making a big deal at the trade deadline. Seeing the Alcantara kind of trade. And the Orioles finally breaking through after two postseason defeats.
Of the worst.
But I can't pull the trigger. So I'm picking the Texas Rangers out of the American League. And I'm picking the...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Boomer
and Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Atlanta Braves out of the Nationals. Jeez. I've got the Braves defeating the Rangers in the 2025 World Series.
That is an all-timer.
Evan became the first person to go 0-3 on World Series predictions in a game that features two teams.
My God. By the way, Mets not getting help early. Reds lead the Pirates 2-0. All right, Tiki Barber.
Yankees-Dodgers again.
Who wins that World Series, Yankees-Dodgers?
Of course the Yankees win it. Tiki.
Well, at least it's still on the table. It's still a possibility.
He is. Tiki might be the most right out of all of these predictions in total.
Yeah, well, the Dodgers are fascinating. I watched them a lot last night as they were playing the Diamondbacks. So last year, they won the World Series, obviously beat the Mets, beat the Yankees, and they did it with no rotation, essentially. They did it with, we're going to bullpen the hell out of this thing. They're going into the postseason this year trying to do the exact opposite thing. They have a lot of starting pitching. They have no bullpen. Tanner Scott's been a disaster. You can't trust Blake Treinen. Mm-hmm. You can't trust anybody. And they're going to use starting pitchers out of the bullpen. We even saw it last night. Clayton Kershaw pitched. Roki Sasaki pitched. So the Dodgers, and it could work. Who knows? You never know. The Dodgers are going to try to get through the postseason doing the exact opposite pitching approach as they had last year.
This sucks. The writing just screams the Philadelphia Phillies going to win the World Series.
You think so? Oh, they're a good team. I mean, they got a shot. They got a hell of a rotation even without Zach.
Does that scummy city need another parade?
Need to sit through it? It'd be awful. It'd be awful. Thank you again, Knicks, for beating the Sixers 2 years ago. Because imagine that. Imagine them going on a run, too.
I know.
Nah, that team will never win. We know that. All right, let's get to your phone calls. Joey is in Philadelphia. What a coincidence. Hey, Joey.
Yeah, and I had to endure all those parade goers like walking right in front of my building. It was horrible. Thousands of Eagles fans. It was horrible because I'm a Giants fan.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about the Brian Cashman trades that he's been making. I mean, some of them seem kind of fishy. Some of them seem like the teams he's dealing with are just genuflecting to him and giving him players he wants. I mean, he gets a full year of Bellinger. But Cody Petit, the Cubs released Petit like the next day. Bednar had a year of team control left. He should have gotten more than what the Pirates got to him, and they're always getting players from the Pirates. And then this is the biggest one. Caballero, he had 4 more years of team control. When you're Tampa Bay, you're a small market team. You're supposed to hold on to those players. You don't give them to big market teams. I mean, and then they trade them to a division rival, no less. And then the last point I want to make is in the Doval trade, the Bednar trade, and the Jazz Chisholm trade, mm-hmm. the leading prospects that the Yankees dealt away included 4 catchers, all within a one-year period. What organization has four catching prospects to deal away to get top play? It's just the whole thing seemed, that whole thing kind of fishy.
Yeah, but in fairness, the guy that the Marlins got for Jazz Chisholm, Agustin Ramirez, has 21 home runs and will get Rookie of the Year votes.
Yeah.
So it wasn't necessarily a bad trade. I think there's a way to explain every single one of those moves. The Cody Bellinger one is the easiest. Cody Bellinger was not coming off of a great year, and he was making a lot of money. And I think that anybody could have had him if they were willing to take on the contract.
And it was a rental.
Yeah, potentially, which it will be because it locked out. But yeah, but I think that's a money move. You know, any team could have done it. I mean, if the Mets wanted, they could have gone after him. They chose not to. They looked at, we're keeping Pete. We don't need him in center field. So every big market team had that option. So I wouldn't look at what they gave up for Bellinger and be aghast. I mean, you just got to think about where it was last year. He was not coming off a good year, and he was making a lot of money. The David Bednar thing did bring a lot of controversy, and the Pirates general manager basically addressed it by saying, we really like the specific prospects we were getting from the New York Yankees. Just because prospects are ranked a certain way by Baseball America or MLB Pipeline doesn't mean the general managers agree with that ranking. So it's just different. And the other thing you got to keep in mind is, why would any general manager want to help Brian Cashman? Like, what would be the thinking behind that?
Yeah. In fact, there's been many years the Yankees have come up short at the deadline as a result of that.
Yeah, I think that phone call just explains that Brian did an amazing job. He gave up nothing for Cody Bellinger. He didn't give up what's considered a lot for David Bednar. Like, all that was you framed it as a complaint, but the reality is it showed that Brian did a really good job.
I think that's what I was really confused by, too. Was he complaining about Brian Cashman?
It was more, it seems like GMs are genuflecting for him. How would you take that?
No, because it felt like he was being positive about the deadline, but then I felt like it was negative because why the hell do you have four catching prospects within a two-year period in the system?
The catching thing is crazy because look around baseball. How about Carlos Narvaez with the Red Sox right now?
Yeah.
He's a beast. How about Jose Trevino with Cincinnati? Like, the Yankees could have, like, nine catchers that could catch. How about our guy, Luis Torrens?
Luis Torrens, yeah. I mean, it's amazing.
The Yankees had, you know, the other guy, I don't know if you're aware of this, Ben Rortvedt is with the Dodgers now. So apparently, like, his numbers aren't, like, amazing.
Right.
But the catching ERA and what he's doing with the pitching is being just raved about in Los Angeles. So even Ben Rortvedt, who really never existed as a New York Yankee player, he was more of a rumor, even he's been productive. So I don't think that, I think that's more of a compliment to the Yankees that they've had a lot of guys go through their system.
And their two guys are just fine. It's not like they blew it.
That's true. You feel good about your situation right now. Let's go to Adam in Connecticut. What's up, Adam?
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. Boy, those are some of the worst predictions I've ever heard.
I know. You know what the difference is? Most people hide their predictions. We need to at least show you we're idiots or we're smart.
You should have seen Pete Hoffman out in the newsroom with a flame lighting tapes on fire out there.
I respect it. At least you're not hiding behind it. I just really wanted to talk about what you guys were mentioning earlier with the rotation, and I thought, Evan, you kind of segued it perfectly about the Dodgers. And I think part of, like, the negativity and obviously, like, the way that we're discussing how the Mets can ultimately manage, like, you know, even the starts before the playoffs and the piggybacking is, like, you know, it's been a mixed bag of results. But, like, you made the point, Evan, the Dodgers are literally did that last year and won the World Series. And I think the way that baseball is going and the lack of innings and the lack of true aces and you know, six, seven-inning complete quality starts, complete games, like, baseball is kind of trending in that direction. I think if we can just ultimately, like, get some better production out of these guys that are piggybacking, whether that be Tong or Clay Holmes, who I think has actually done a decent job for the most part. Like, he would definitely be one guy that I would do that with. Manaea, I'm not really sure. But, like, I think if you could just get a little bit more consistency in production, like, that, we're thinking of it right now as this big question mark and it's a debacle. But if they just produce, we wouldn't be saying that. Well, we would be saying, oh, it's working, and the Dodgers just did it and they won a World Series. And it would be a recipe for potentially being successful in the playoffs with the young guys.
It can absolutely be successful, but, and this is the most important thing, guys have to perform. Like, in theory, especially with all the off days in the postseason, I've said this for a while, I know it's boring to think about what a divisional series schedule looks like, but there's off days. It's game, off day, game, off day, game, game, off day, game. It's ridiculous. But that's the format.
I love how you have it memorized like Rain Man.
I do. Because you guys had it last year as Yankee fans.
Yeah.
The American League Divisional Series was featured a lot of off days. And the benefit of that is you can use the same pitchers a lot. And so, yeah, I think on paper I can describe how the Mets could orchestrate this in the playoffs. But A, Sean Manaea, Clay Holmes, guys like that have to be better. Nolan McLean and Brandon Sproat, who have made a handful of major league starts, need to be good. And oh, by the way, and this is the other bugaboo that's really bit the Mets over the last week, they got to field the baseball. They have played some really bad defense at the worst possible time. In the Washington series, the last two nights in Chicago, you're not winning playoff series when you give extra outs. Look what happened last night with Mark Vientos not fielding and making a good throw on a routine ground ball. It led directly to two runs being scored. Same thing the night before with Jeff McNeil. So, yes, with off days and with piggybacks and tag teams, sure, on paper you can make it work, but you need a lot of other things that the Mets are doing horribly to get better. Because if they don't get better, you're not beating anybody.
But just get in and anything can happen.
Well, that's the hope. I mean, that is the hope. Anything can happen. Will it? I don't know. Probably it doesn't feel that way. They're doing something different next year, which I actually kind of like. They're opening the season the way the NFL does, with a one-game prime time Wednesday night game in this case, and then the next day is your traditional opening day. So the Yankees and the Giants are opening it up out in California and San Francisco, and it's going to be on Netflix, according to Andrew Marchand.
Great. I mean, baseball just rooting for all old people to die so that they could just broadcast games. I mean,
wow.
Imagine telling everybody 65 and over, yeah, you know that Netflix sign-in that I gave you that now is no longer eligible because you live too far? You need that again, not just on Christmas Day for the football. You need it for your baseball team's opening
day. Yes, but hold on. You just hit on it. The more that's on Netflix, the more likely it is you're going to have Netflix. So there's a Christmas NFL game. Tommy and I have Monday Night Raw. It obviously has many other things. A lot of comedy specials, Adam Sandler stuff.
I understand.
Like, most people will have it with the more it has. Like, when it's a streaming service that has nothing, and you're like, oh my God, I got to get the streaming service I never watch. Yeah, well, Peacock's got a lot too, but that makes it easier, in my opinion.
Look, when you show up to somebody, you know, your grandparents' house on Christmas Day, it's easy to log into your Netflix to watch the football. This is a Wednesday night at the end of March, okay? The 67-year-old person whose wife just got done knitting something is going to be scrambling that night looking for the Yankee game. It is not as easy as you think. Now, despite how many people have Netflix, and I get it, it's growing and all of that, it's still minuscule to the amount of Americans that are out there. I'm just saying, for a sport that relies on a lot of old people, you're certainly phasing them out.
You brought up one very valid point, which I think is a major issue, which is figuring out where games are. That is absolutely fair, especially baseball where it's every day.
Open a day? Do this ain't a Friday night on an Apple?
No. That's a great point, and I don't know how you address that if you're Major League Baseball, but it can be confusing. Like, is that my game on SNY tonight? Is my game on Yes tonight? Is my game on Amazon Prime tonight? Is my game on Apple TV Plus tonight? Is my game on Peacock tonight? Is my game on Fox tonight? Like, it is so easy to just throw your hands up and be like, where the hell's the baseball game? So I don't know how you attack that, but in terms of the services, the more that a streaming service has, the more likely it is that you're going to want to consume it. That's all I'm saying.
Netflix
gives you a lot of stuff now, and if it gives you more, you're just more likely to have it.
I bailed on Netflix a couple of years ago because I realized I was tired of how many different crime shows I was going to watch that were in British accents. Football got me back, so I had it. So I have it. There's no issue. But there were going to be people.
Football got you back. Wasn't it like one game they have?
The two Christmas games.
Yeah, so two
I only
games
got it back this year.
So two games got you back to pay like $10 a month?
I don't want to give anybody pub. On top of that, I have a cell phone service that offered me a great deal to bring that back.
Right.
But not everybody has that luxury. I hate this. I hate this for baseball more than anything because it's too much. It's everywhere.
Yeah,
what the hell is Roku channel? I still haven't figured it out after 2 years.
It lost baseball. That's what I know.
Yeah, because it doesn't exist. They made it up. There's nothing else on it but a baseball game on a Sunday.
Yeah, Roku lost their baseball package and Peacock took it. And Peacock has like a Sunday night baseball package. Plus, they've got a Sunday morning package. There's all sorts of stuff.
And can we not buffer here either? Because once Mike Tyson's butt cheeks were shown on that fight that night, the buffering, you lost.
No, that was a major issue, but for the most part, like, they have Raw every single Monday. And I watch it every single Monday.
As does
Tommy.
Okay.
They've done a fine job. The biggest issue is just being confused where things are. When something is on different TV channels, you just go to the guide. It ain't that difficult. There's a guide. But when is it Netflix? Is it Amazon Prime?
I missed the guide.
There needs to be like a universal guide
yes.
to help us out.
Turn on a smart TV. I think you nailed it. It's a great invention. It doesn't matter what you have. This is what's on Peacock tonight. This is what's on Hulu tonight. This is what's on Disney Plus tonight. Bah, 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 bah. You don't like it?
No, I like it. I'm trying to figure, because that to me is the biggest issue.
Why can't you do that? Why can't there be a smart TV guide?
I don't know. Maybe there
live
is.
Programming.
I don't even realize
there's
it right
not.
Now.
I don't know. It's just enough. I'm so tired of every game being a million places.
I gotcha. Right now, the Mets are involved in playing baseball that they're not playing because the Reds are playing the Pirates right now. They do lead 2-0, so they're 9 outs away from putting the pressure on Nolan McClain and the Mets tonight. The Dodgers and the Diamondbacks are just underway. The situation, pretty simple. Right now, if the Mets win their games, they'll get in. But if the Reds hold on and win and the Mets lose, they would then control or lose control of their future. Oh. So the pressure may be on tonight. Pressure's on either way, but it may be applied even harder if the Reds can get these last 8 outs, because they're 8 outs away from salvaging the final game of this 3-game series against the Pirates. Let's go to Annabelle in Bridgeport. What's up, Annabelle?
Hey, how you doing, guys, man? Thank you for taking my call.
No problem.
Let me tell you one thing about the Mets. Tonight, it must be a win situation. They have to win this game. Let me bring you a little story. In 1973, the Mets went to the Wrigley Field.
Yep.
And there was no wild card at that time. And the Mets clinched over there the division. And I believe John Milner made the last out. That's what I believe.
Yeah, he was the first baseman. He catched a little bit of a blooper in the rain, and it was supposed to be a doubleheader, but because they clinched it after winning that game, they didn't play the second game. That's what happened in 1973.
Yeah, exactly. And now, let me tell you, I agree with Tommy. If the Mets make the playoff, that I'm hoping they will, but they have to win tonight and go to the Florida and take care of the Marlins. They have to do this.
Obviously, because you can't rely on the Reds and the Diamondbacks losing every single night. You know, even with the luck of the Pirates helping the Mets out by winning 2 games in a row, and it was luck, because the Mets don't deserve to be in a position where if they win their games, they're in. But at some point, you have to win your games. And I don't know why you'd be confident, considering they haven't done it. I mean, right now, the Mets need to win 4 in a row. If they win 4 in a row, they make the playoffs. Do you know the last time the Mets won 4 in a row?
Oh, we're doing this now. Smaller sample size.
Well, I'm just curious. Do you guys know the last time the Mets won 4 in a row?
I'm going to say it's some point in August.
You're going to go August. Okay.
Same. When they had that 7-game winning streak back in August after they had lost like 12 out of 14, something like that.
Yeah, they didn't have a 7-game winning streak in August. They had it in July. Oh, July 21st to July 27th. That's the last time they've won 4 in a row.
Oh.
So it's been a long time. And look, if they win 3 out of 4, do they make the playoffs? I think there's a decent chance, just based on what's going on around them. But how about you take away the chances and you just win all 4 games? And if you're as good as we think you are, why not do it? Like, just go do it tonight. You got Nolan McClain on the mound. You have an offense that got shut down yesterday. Maybe you bounce back. Your key bullpen arm should be a little bit more fresh because you didn't use him yesterday. Like, go beat him. And go beat the Marlins. Just go do it. I know it sounds easier than reality, yeah. But how about you go? Just go do it. Let's go to Connor in Jacksonville. Hey, Connor.
Hey, guys. I have a solution to this. To this not knowing which streaming service to watch,
yeah.
Not knowing which streaming service your team's on.
Yeah.
The teams just need to put out a schedule with whether it's Hulu or Netflix or Peacock, whatever. The teams need to do that. It needs to be on that.
Yeah. Okay, but put it out. Connor, this is the problem. Put it out where? Where the same people that are going to struggle to know where the game is aren't going to know that the team put out a schedule on whatever they put it out on. Unless you hand
it
out magnets at the car wash in April. I mean...
Yeah, I don't know, but I got a question for you guys, and I love the show, so thanks for taking my call. I'm down in Jacksonville, Florida, and been listening to you guys. I'm from New York originally. Great show, you guys. So, do you think deep down Gerrit Cole is wanting the Yankees to lose?
No, that's a great point.
I mean. If they win the World Series this year, which I don't think they will, but
right.
I mean that's gotta hurt for him. I mean, not a single game.
It's a good question, but it's happened to other guys. Like, I'll give you two examples right off the top. Jacob DeGrom with Texas and Adam Wainwright with the St. Louis Cardinals. Now, maybe it's easier for Waino because he already had one. But he had that as like a rookie closer, obviously, in 2006. Right. I would assume if you ever went to Jake or you ever went to Adam Wainwright and said, it bother you? I would assume the answer is no, I'm happy for the guys, but I'm sure there's a part of them that feel empty that they didn't help, that they weren't a part of it. I think with Waino, it's probably easier because he did contribute in 06. But I'll tell you the other guy, I know it's not a pitcher, is Ronald Acuna Jr.
Yes.
I mean, you're an elite level player. I'm sure there is a small part of you that feels like you didn't do your part. But I don't know if that goes to the level of, boy, I want them to lose.
It's not rooting for losses, and I normally would think cynically the way you are. But if you watch these Yankee games, I know you guys are watching them, Gerrit Cole is as engaged as anybody who hasn't played a game is all year. Like, every shot in the dugout, he is living and dying with pitches. He's talking to the pitchers in the dugout. He's been like a coach all year.
Oh, no doubt. He's been fully engaged. And that's why, look, the answer is probably not. I don't mean to make you, you know, have regrets or feel sick. Could you imagine if he was healthy? Could you imagine the Yankees going into the postseason with Cole, Fried, and Rodon?
Well, then,
holy crap.
You think I'd be as negative?
I'd hope not.
No, I would not.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
If they had Fried still existed, well, and Cole was Cole.
You think he'd exist differently because Gerrit Cole's pitching the day after him?
Because you know what it is. He pitches on a different kind of day, a different kind of weather, slips on the rubber, there's a different injury. You know, the butterfly effect.
Yes.
I just think those two, his top aces, he'd be Schilling and Johnson.
Earlier in the show, we were replaying our predictions from the baseball season, like right before the baseball season started. Like, oh, Evan, I said this, you said that. And we mentioned that the day we made the Mets and Yankees predictions, you were out. And you recall that, well, but I did call in or I was on with a microphone.
Yeah.
Our great listener, Dan, has supplied me with the audio. So here's Sean Morash, the day we were making baseball predictions, trying to communicate to us via a microphone while also simultaneously trying to walk his dog. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I said, are you ready?
Oh, yeah. I thought you were just going to press play. I'm ready.
There we go.
Hold on. We want to hear the ice cream go into your mouth. We want
it.
Yeah, just like that.
Damn it. I just stepped in full crap. God damn it. All right, you went too far.
Is it your own dog's crap or is it random dog crap?
No, it's my dog's crap.
That was brutal.
Freaking new running shoes, man.
This has all worked out perfectly, actually.
Yeah, Dale. Hopefully I don't step in at a Yankee Stadium. Oh. All right, I'm on the socks now. All right, does it sound fine? Yankees, dude, 85 wins, Mets 85 wins. Did we do it yet? Yeah, no, you're
right.
Dude,
there you go.
I threw out those shoes, though.
85 wins for the Mets, 85 wins for the Yankees. They both missed the playoffs, and you had to throw out shoes because you stepped in dog crap.
And by the way, I wasn't walking my dog. It was in my own yard, which was a problem.
Oh, so you were just randomly walking around?
I was just doing like a wandering thing because you guys wanted me to test the service of this like camera microphone thing.
I have a weird question around dogs and cleaning stuff up.
Sure.
Okay.
Where so, dog dad shooted me.
Without getting into the details, my dog Dudley has been, you know, when he goes to the bathroom sometimes outside, it's not solid.
Okay.
He's, you know, having some issues.
That's fine. We've been there.
Are you supposed to clean that up?
Great
question.
Because
it's not full. It's not a solid. So I feel weird leaving it there. But my son Jetta asked me the other day, he's like, aren't you supposed to clean that up? I'm like, how am I supposed to clean it up? It's a liquid.
So I've dealt with this with my dogs, and there's two things, and it depends. Are you playing a home game or a road game? If it's a home game, what I mean by that is in your own yard, Evan, is that what you're asking?
No, it's down the street.
So walking him.
Yes.
I put on a show.
You pretend you're picking it up?
I take the plastic bags with me, and if it's a mushy day, I do, because you never know who's peeking out a window, right? Like a neighbor or something like that. I put on the, I'll bend down, I'll even do the, like, the fake grunt. Oh, man, oh. And I'll do a fake look at it, go, you're disgusting. I'll do the whole thing. Bags empty, I'll do the fake tire around the block quick, and boom, I never pick
so
it up.
So you're just putting on a show, but you're not actually, because you can't pick it up.
You can't pick it up. But people from their window don't know that it's mushy. So if you make no effort and leave it there, then you're tempting fate with an altercation.
Yeah.
Put on a fake show.
Honestly, if someone came out and asked me about it, I would be so blunt. I'd be like, he's not doing well, okay? He has stomach aches. So if you have a problem with my dog.
He's a dog.
My dog being sick and making a, you know, that's on you. So I'd probably just guilt people if they made me feel bad. Because I'm a cleaner-upper. Like, I know it's wrong to leave it there. But if it's a liquid, how you picking it up?
I'm with you. I actually had words with a neighbor on Wednesday over something similar.
What do you mean?
It was a couple blocks over. I'm walking. I have two dogs. Walking the dog.
He's a dog.
And I'm respectful, right? Not liquidy. I pick up everything. And I walk past. And there's they left their garbage pail out. I threw it in the garbage pail.
Oh, you can't do that.
Yes, you can.
Nah, you can't do that.
The guy comes storming out,
bro,
all angry at me.
Sean. Hey, bring it home to your own garbage.
It's a garbage pail,
Sean,
bro.
Sean, you're wrong about this one.
No, I'm not. If it's in a bag tied up. And you know what I told him? I think this is my checkmate. You care so much about your garbage pail, bring it in then.
Bring
it to the side of your house, loser.
Do you ever live in the city? Lived in the city?
I say this all due respect. I'm not a city guy.
Okay, I lived in Queens for 15 years. I lived in Brooklyn for 3 years. I had a dog. Same dog, obviously. Uh-huh. And I'd walk them. And it is so easy when you clean up to just stick it in a garbage can in Long Island City or in Astoria or on Atlantic Avenue. But you can't do it.
Why?
It's not yours.
It's garbage. It's made for that.
You're wrong, bro.
That's right.
You're a fool.
Everybody's garbage can stinks. It's gross. Now, look,
it's not yours.
If I picked it up a paper towel and chucked it in there, it's tied up in a bag like a garbage
bag. Doesn't matter. It's not your garbage can.
Bring in your pails, folks.
That's not how it works out in the city.
It's a signal. It's like hitting a wide open receiver. The pail is wide open. You left it out there. I'm throwing my garbage. And I don't take short walks. I'm taking 3 mile walks.
Too bad that's on you. Then hold the freaking bag.
So for 2.5 more miles, I'm supposed to hold this bag?
I have, yeah.
Oh, these people are out of their mind. Bring in your pails then. It's garbage.
No. These people are me.
You're wrong, dude.
No, I'm not wrong.
I can't believe you're backing this, dude, because it's actually
a selfish jerk.
Dude, I can't tell you how many times, whether it was back in the day living in Queens or even now, just going through the neighborhood, that I have an urge. You're right. To just throw it in someone's can. I have the urge.
Tie it up. It's in a bag. You throw it out.
Hold on. I have the urge to do it. It's easy. You're right. But you can't. It's not yours. Here's the fairer question. And I don't know the answer. I have a strong opinion you're wrong about this. Can you put it down the sewer? Because that kind of feels like a garbage. So can you take the bag and just put it in that little sewer hole and have it go down?
Remember, summer storm drains. That being said, yes.
And I would imagine Splinter and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles won't want your dog crap down there in their home. But yeah, I think you could do that.
All right. I'm just making sure. But you cannot put it in somebody else's can.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't.
And I'm going to continue to do it. And if you don't like doing it, neighbor, if you hear me now you know who I am. My dog's going on your lawn.
Tommy, break the tie. Can you do it in someone else's can?
I'm with Sean on this one.
What?
It's garbage, bro. Who cares? Garbage in the garbage pail.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.